along. Sir, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Absolutely. It's great to be here as always. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the new job and what's expected out of you with the new job, Neil.
Oh, boy, I tell you. I'm working with Sports Illustrated. I am managing the breaking news team. So really what we're doing is going over, verifying different points of news that are coming out, writing those up and putting them out to social media channels and engage in conversation along those lines, along with coordinating coverage with the sports desks, the NFL, NBA, NHL, baseball, World Cup coming up. We got a bunch of stuff coming for the World Cup starting Friday, I believe. It's a very broad sports world, and we have an extremely talented and dedicated team that knows a lot more about a lot of sports that I don't. So I'm diving in here head first. It's been crazy.
Which is the one that you've had to really get yourself up to speed the quickest?
Oh, the quickest. Basketball, because I think that, yeah, that produces probably the most news. But as far as understanding and structure and everything like that, I am not a big hockey guy. I don't know what.
Right.
Hockey, I would definitely be the most lost with. And our hockey writers are laughing at me. So we're going to have to probably double down efforts there. But the NFL coverage is good. We got some good NFL people I know I can help out there. So we're gonna keep the tradition alive.
All right, so I want to get to the Steelers for a moment because there are now stories circulating that Mike Tomlin almost left for a TV job. What about that?
Boy, this is what I like to call a dot connecting scenario. Just because you connect the dots doesn't mean that the picture that you think that you see is real. When you connect the dots, Mike Tomlin has been there for a while. Team hasn't been particularly good. All of the Sean McVay talk, along with, and really this is kind of fueled from Tony Romo jumping into the spotlight, and Jason Witten as well. Greg Olson's a lead guy with Fox now. All of the real football guys, not that they weren't before, but it seems like the public is acknowledging their presence more than they have in the past. And the market is being driven up from new TV deals. You know, Amazon offered allegedly Sean McVay $20 million a season to retire at age 36 after winning the Super Bowl. He probably thought long and hard about it. I'll say this: if you know Mike Tomlin, if you have worked with Mike Tomlin, if you've sat and listened to Mike Tomlin for any amount of time, if Mike Tomlin somehow failed as a coach, he would be the best studio analyst in the world. He is the most naturally charismatic and intelligent person you're ever going to meet. He is born for that role. And I find him to be an excellent NFL coach. That said, I think you're connecting a lot of dots to suggest that Tomlin would go do that. Because to be honest, again, if you know Mike Tomlin, he lives, breathes, and eats football. He wants to be at the front lines. We've talked about this. When he goes to the college pro days, he's like a kid on Christmas Day.
Yes, he is.
I've
seen him. So
that's not the kind of stuff that he's going to be able to do in a studio. And it's not as if he's not getting paid now. Now, to be fair, you know, $20 million is a lot more than $12 million. I get it. But I don't... If that happened, I wouldn't be completely shocked. I absolutely would not be betting on it either. I don't think that's going to happen, but the dots connect. So I can see why people would say that. I don't think there's any validity to it.
That's interesting because obviously, you know, when you look at the possibility of Tomlin even going to TV, you know, I think a lot more circulates around him right now because the team is not very good. How about
exactly.
that? Is that fair?
Exactly. It's 90% that.
When you look at the league right now, there's some now there were some fun games over the weekend. Green Bay, Dallas was a fun game. Obviously, Buffalo and Minnesota was a phenomenal game. Why are we not seeing as many fun and phenomenal games right now where those games really stick out?
I think there's a correlation with what we're seeing, generally speaking, out of quarterback play and to some degree offense. What the public is going to say is a great, fun game is the combination of an above-average point total, highlight plays, and drama. You really couldn't define better than what we saw Sunday with Minnesota and Buffalo, which was just the most fun ending you've ever seen. Even if you weren't emotionally invested, we saw historical events. There's only one other team in history. I don't even know who it is. I just read the stat. One other team in history has scored a defensive touchdown to take the lead in a game with less than a minute to go. I mean, it's happened once since 1970. A lot of games have been played. That's super cool. Back-to-back defensive wins on a short yardage play. I mean, from basically the same spot. It's crazy. You don't see stuff like that. The rarity factor definitely comes into it because of that. I would say, though, top to bottom, you're just not getting great play from quarterbacks. And it's not just Aaron Rodgers is having an off year, Tom Brady's kind of falling apart. Overall, it really kind of seems like the defensive football has taken a turn from where it was. And I'll use this as a point, as a moment to really push this. The NFL owner that's really paying attention to where football is right now is looking very hard at hiring DeMeco Ryans. Because if you look at what San Francisco's defense does schematically, hasn't been locked down every single game, but they are creating more of the havoc that we're starting to see matriculate around the rest of the league. And the bulk of it is in how he's using his safeties. They're very versatile. They're interchangeable. They're not even really, you might be able to call them left and right, but they don't have an assigned position. And he's got both of them playing all these different things. And at the same time, presenting so much cover too, big plays aren't going down the field against them. And I think a lot of other teams are starting to employ that. The Steelers went out, they want to play cover one. They went out and made a trade for what they hope to be a man quarterback to help play the defense that they want to play. Unfortunately, William Jackson apparently is hurt for a month, and whether they knew that or not is a different story for another day. But what did we see on the interception? The second interception, the one that Casey got, Levi Wallace, who's been kind of dogged a little bit this season, was playing man straight up, did a great job, turned and ran with the receiver. The safety came over and made a play on the ball. That type of play is becoming more and more valuable. And I think that the smarter teams are avoiding deeper plays because of this. They really don't want to turn it over. And what's the old adage? You can never go broke by making gains, right? They're going to be the CEOs. They're throwing five, six yards down the field all the time, but they're not being able to convert in the red zone. So teams aren't scoring as much. The public is going to view a great NFL game as 34-31. They're not going to look at 20-17 the same way. They're not going to look at 10-7 the same way. It has to have points, and scoring is down. Big plays, more than anything, are way down. And I think a bulk of it is just because across the league, we're starting to see a lot more of the stuff that San Francisco has been doing, whether it was under Robert Saleh or now under DeMeco Ryans. They are crushing teams back and not giving up big plays. They're attacking downhill with their safeties who are covering a lot more ground. And that is making, from a public's perspective, a game less interesting because they're not able to hit on the big plays and they're not scoring as much.
Peter King from SI, or my apologies, from NBC Football Morning in America, formerly of SI, went to Munich and witnessed the Seahawks-Tampa Bay game and came back raving about the atmosphere and the enthusiasm for the NFL. And now there are stories about maybe playing a game or two in Spain and so forth. How do you view this dalliance by the NFL over the years into Europe and not just London?
I think it's hard to say. I mean, you know, Cortez wanted to conquer more land. You know, he wanted to find more opportunities. That mentality is pretty common in business. It's not a surprise.
Was Cortez the NFL commissioner before Pete Rozelle? I'm just kidding.
I think he was. He was the guy that wanted to go to Canada. by and large, they're going to want to find more revenue opportunities. Now, really, what this would mean is not so much that they're, you know, out and out concerned with what the fans in Madrid think of the NFL. They want to build up interest, you know, and they want to build up interest with the idea of creating some type of European version of the NFL. That's another revenue opportunity for owners. You know, a logistical nightmare even trying to figure out how any of that would work. But you could see why they would want to do it. Beyond that, it's, you know, other leagues do this. Aren't the Bulls playing in Paris next week or something like that? Yes. Jordan played all over the world. They you know, moved him around because of who he is. It's an opportunity to spread your brand. If anything on that move, it's not going to move for a long time. Let's keep in mind, they just went back. They played in Germany a long time ago. They played in Mexico. They played in Dublin a long time ago. They've dotted around different places, but London is the only place they've played consistently. And they haven't, they're looking to, you know, continue to expand those horizons. And it'll be interesting to see kind of how it all plays out. But as far as it being anything more than a novelty to the locals there and just an early game to the locals here, I'm not sure we'll see that needle move for, you know, a decade or two at least if they want to keep it going. But, yeah, I think it makes sense to go into places where you have a good, you know, expat presence. Good amount of Americans somewhere that would kind of want to go and help boost this whole thing. And then what they do, they, you know, sell beers in 48-ounce cups. it gets them pretty excited, which, you know, gets them to make some noise for the TV audience. So it's a fairly tried and true method. I don't think they could fail if they tried. I mean, it could be a lot worse. You go to the wrong place, then yeah. But, you know, if anything, you're going to get the location right. And we'll view it like we do any other game, I guess. You know, it doesn't matter a whole lot to us. It's kind of fun to see. You see the random NFL jerseys in the stadiums. That's what I like to see. The random kids that have like a D. Wallace jersey or you go back to like Gary Anderson's number one Steelers jersey from 1978. Those are fun, and you know, no clue why they show up there, but they have a vested interest in it the same way we do.
Yeah, it's interesting because what they're doing is they're taking the 17th game, and whomever has the 9 home games, those are the ones that are going over. That's their home game over there. So, I mean, that's how they're going about it.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean that's the way they decided that they wanted to go about it, and it's just perfectly fine. With what they're going to do now, what they're going to do with it, get to an 18th game. Because you know
they're pushing
game.
For that. Yeah, wouldn't surprise me if they figure out some type of way to do like a two game international series. Just run a couple over there and cut away another preseason game, add on another regular season game, and start them off or end the year over in Europe. You go from one place to another. You know, the logistics of that, to be honest, might actually be easier in a way. I could see them wanting to do that for sure. If you got two places that are fairly close together, it's not a long trip. It's pretty small over there compared to you know, how they're traveling now. Makes sense. I can see why they'd want to do it. Doesn't really particularly interest me outside of, you know, just kind of an interesting business study, but I don't think it changes the league much. The players, I'm sure, aren't going to be thrilled, and they're going to want something in return for that.
Aaron Rodgers has joined the chorus of those who want to see the NFL playing exclusively on grass. Cooper Kupp really is the one that started it. You know, the NFLPA would want it. You and I both know logistically it's difficult because you'd have to have stadiums changing over to grass. And, of course, we see what Accuture Stadium looks like after a WPIL playoff. it's not great. But what's your thought on that angle? is it something the NFL could gradually mandate, or is it something you want to stay away from?
I think the NFL would be wise to look into another advent of technology to help with the artificial surface. There's no way they're getting rid of that. It's funny, and I don't mean to try to dunk on Aaron Rodgers or deflate his point with this, but I saw at what was then called Heinz Field, Jordy Nelson, his receiver back in 2015, tore up his knee on a natural grass stadium, and he screamed about preseason games. Just like, well, injuries happen. This is part of the game. That's not to say artificial turf it is absolutely the best option. It's not. You ask any player, they're all going to tell you that it's grass. Grass is extremely expensive to maintain, and nowadays, in particular, local communities need artificial surface to maintain the environment that they have, to try to put something out that people can use. If NFL stadiums are coming out to say, well, no, this causes injuries, we don't want to use it, I don't want to suggest that sport turf or any of its competitors is above the law, but you're going to create a significant amount of problem if you are going to say there is an abnormally higher amount of injuries on an artificial surface than grass. There's a lot that's going to come with that. I will say that before everyone's yelling and changing the station, I have not seen numbers that prove that. I have heard a bunch of players complain about it, but like I said, I've seen players tear ACL and non-contact injuries on grass. It happens. A buddy of mine from high school played with the Texans. He blew out his ACL twice on grass. Same spot, pretty much, and different knees. I don't think it's entirely surface. Surface can cause that, yes, but it's hard to make that the linchpin of what's already a dangerous game, and they're not going to get rid of it. Pittsburgh is one of the few places that insists on only playing on grass. That's just the way that they want to do it, and you know, I'm glad they do. I think it looks better. I like to see it that way, but the cost differences are absolutely massive nowadays.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Congrats on the new job, and we're grateful that you're going to continue on with us as well.
Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it. You guys have a good day.